WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to WCRI's special performances, shall we say, of the Newport Music Festival series, where we're doing, this is episode number 9.
Wow, we're on a roll.
9 shows. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival, and we are going to continue our little mini special series within a series of holiday music. And this is a time of year for it, obviously. Pamela, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, we're hearing holiday music absolutely everywhere these days. Some of our listeners may know that the Newport Music Festival performed a holiday concert at the Blythewald Mansion just a week ago on Saturday, December 2nd. And since the concert sold out in 2 days and many of the listeners tried to get tickets and couldn't, well, that'll tell us to do an extra concert next year.
There you go. That's marketing. Marketing 101.
Exactly. I thought that we would present some of that festive music that we performed and some other Christmas music that are not certainly the traditional carols that we're currently being inundated with, you know, via Muzak and everywhere else. So the program at Blythewald featured a wonderful work by a composer who we've also featured in this program and who was very important in the history of the Newport Music Festival, namely Franz Liszt. Franz Liszt was born in 1811 in Hungary and died in 1886 in Germany. And we spoke a little bit about Liszt when we presented his Totentanz on our Halloween program. However, I believe that a short précis of his life is important in this context. So his father was a musician, and he was constantly exposed to music, so much so that he began precociously composing at the age of 8. Liszt had piano lessons with Karl Czerny, who any of us who've studied piano, you know, did lots of little etudes and exercise. And Czerny was a composer and a pianist who had studied with Ludwig van Beethoven. And Liszt also studied composition with Antonio Salieri, who has a bad rap of having poisoned Mozart because of the movie and the play Amadeus. He was musical director at the Viennese court. So what we also know is that Liszt certainly met Beethoven and even Schubert. So he had the Wunderkind stamp as a child prodigy. In his teens, he lived in Paris. He toured Europe playing for kings and nobility. And at the ripe old age of 17, he taught piano lessons. He fell in love with one of his pupils, and when this pupil's father broke it off, Liszt almost died of a broken heart. He was so emotional. And one of the myths about Liszt is, you know, he had this larger-than-life personality, and actually his obituary at that point appeared in a Paris newspaper. People really thought he was dead. So he went through a depression, and for a long time, for more than a year, he didn't even touch the piano. So we're going to fast forward in his career. So Liszt has had this life of a rock star, you know, being the world's most celebrated pianist, performing everywhere. He composes with great success, is best friends with Berlioz, mentors Wagner. He marries, he travels, but he suffered greatly when two of his adult children, when they both died. So he goes through these up and downs, this roller coaster ride of a life. And when he grows older, he decides to become a priest and vowed to live a solitary life. He actually was known as the Abbe Liszt, and he received 4 minor orders in the Catholic Church. That's how religious he was. However, he continued to compose, and later his works were of a much simpler form, which is where the piece that we're going to discuss right now falls. It's called Christmas Tree, in German, Weihnachtsbaum. It's a suite of 12 pieces that he wrote in 1873 to 1876, and then he revised it in 1881. He wrote the suite for both solo piano and for piano 4 hands, and as we said, it was written extremely late in his life. He dedicated it to his first grandchild, Daniela von Bülow, and they had gone to Rome together, and he actually performed it for her on Christmas Day in 1881 in her hotel room. So Liszt performed this piece for his granddaughter. So it's, as we said, 12 short pieces that some of them are transcriptions of very well-known carols. He dedicated it to Daniela, and he wrote, "They, these pieces, will not be in the least scientific works or pompous, but simple echoes of my youthful emotions. These stay indelible through all the ordeals of the years." Which is why we mentioned that little bit his history of his life, so that our listeners have a context for why these pieces seem simplistic in comparison to some of the extremely ornate, virtuoso pieces that we're quite used to from Liszt. So his choices of the simple and unadorned compositional style reflect this later period. And unlike his earlier pieces where he fashioned, which he fashioned to impress his audiences. So we're going to hear two of these pieces and then take a little break. The first of these two Weihnachtsbaum excerpts are, number one, Old Christmas Song, Altes Weihnachtslied, and O Holy Night, O Heilige Nacht.
Thank you.
Welcome back to WCRI's special presentation of the Newport Music Festival Series. And Pamela, we were in the midst of some music when I had to interrupt you for a commercial break. So let's pick up where we left off.
So we will hear three more pieces from Franz Liszt's The Christmas Tree Weihnachtsbaum set, played by pianist Roland Pontinen. First, we will hear the March of the Three Holy Kings, Gleichsam als Marsch der Heiligen Drei Könige, Slumber Song, Schlummerlied, and an old Provençal Christmas song, Altes Provenzalisches Weihnachtslied.
Thank you.
As we have mentioned, Franz Liszt and Hector Berlioz were great friends. They greatly admired one another, and their friendship lasted 35 years. Almost from the start, the relationship between Berlioz and Liszt was personal as well as musical, and extended in many directions. Their relationship evolved over time as the careers of the two men developed. One of the most interesting pieces of their story is the creation of Berlioz's masterpiece, L'Enfance du Christ, The Birth of Christ. He began writing it as a sort of challenge, and it's a piece in three parts. Anyone who knows this piece knows it's a huge work, almost operatic. He actually wrote the second section, the part of it called La Fuite en Égypte, The Flight into Egypt, first. This was performed in January of 1853, and then again on the 27th of January in 1854. And what's interesting about this is that Liszt, Franz Liszt, actually conducted this performance of La Fuite en Égypte in Weimar. So after this, it was successful, and after this, Berlioz decided to complete the piece. So he wrote the other two sections, the first part being Le Songe d'Hérode, or Herod's Dream, and the third part being L'Arrivée à Saïs. Saïs is an ancient town in Egypt where the Holy Family took a rest after fleeing from Egypt. So what's particularly remarkable is that Berlioz chooses not to describe the holy birth, but rather the trials and the tribulations of the Holy Family afterwards. What was interesting is that the piece was extremely well received, and Berlioz was a little put off by this because he couldn't understand why this little oratorio that he, as he considered it, had such extraordinary success when he felt that he had written such significant pieces, you know, like The Damnation of Faust, which had not been as successful. So he made a lot of money with this piece.
And he hated it.
And at the same time, it galled him a little bit. And some people even said that he had altered his style for this piece. And he states, "I should have written L'Enfance du Christ in the same manner 20 years ago. The subject naturally prompted a naive and gentle style of music." So he became a little upset about this, but nonetheless, he made a lot of money off of it, and which allowed him to do a lot of other compositions. So I thought that we would end this evening's broadcast with three excerpts from Berlioz's L'Enfance du Christ, namely the Overture to the Flight in Egypt, then a beautiful serenade of the Holy Family by the children of the household, and the epilogue where the narrator and the chorus sing. It's important to understand that in this third section, Joseph and Mary and the Christ child arrive at an inn again, and they are actually turned away by many doors, but they finally are hospitably received by an Ishmaelite. He bids his children and servants to attend to these poor refugees' needs, and he invites them to stay and live with him. So these grateful pilgrims take their rest and are entertained by the children with music of flutes and harps, which is that excerpt that we're going to hear, and then they retire to bed. And then the narrator tells the listener of their 10-year sojourn in Egypt, their return to Palestine, and the child's fulfillment of his redeeming mission. So the narrator in this epilogue says the following: "And thus it was that by an unbeliever our Savior was saved. 10 years resided Mary and Joseph in Egypt. There did the Holy Child grow in wisdom and grace. For in him were combined the gifts of faith and kindness. It was safe to return at last to where the child was born. The supreme sacrifice was he destined to suffer. For it was written that the human race would be delivered and by his death be received into heaven." The chorus then answers, "O my spirit, bow low before so great a wonder. God will triumph and break the gates of hell asunder. O my heart, ever show a pure and noble love and dwell at last in heaven with the angels above."
All right, we'll take a short break and we'll continue our story after these messages. Welcome back to episode number 9 of the Newport Music Festival special series here on WCRI. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. And Pamela, I kind of interrupted you a little bit in your train of thought there to get that last commercial break in. But let's get back on track and finish up with these last three pieces.
Thank you so much, Mike. So we are going to listen to Sir Colin Davis conducting the London Symphony Orchestra in a performance from Berlioz's L'Enfant du Christ. And we will hear three excerpts. The first one is the overture to the second movement, La Fuite en Egypte. Then we will hear the trio for two flutes and harp, and then we will hear the epilogue. So from the Newport Music Festival, we would love to wish everyone a very happy holiday season. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.